So, first topic we're gonna get into is today the NBA approved 22 team return. So I think it's like 13 teams from the West, 9 teams from the East, and then they're gonna do 8 games as a regular season, then a potential play-in game. It's not set in stone. But what do y'all think about the return of the NBA? And I guess, did they get the proposal right? Greg, we'll start with you.
Yeah, y'all would start with me when I got my my coworker in here. But as far as the start, I mean, I think we all knew that the NBA would probably be the first league to start back. Just from, you know, the mere fact that they were determined to start back. You know, they were dead set on finishing the season. A lot of folks felt like they should just scrap the season. So I'm not surprised by that. To be honest, I don't know all the ins and outs of the 22-team format. So I'll defer to y'all. What's the setup of it? Like, because I understand that Portland took offense to it. They were the only ones to object to it. So what's the deal? What's the format?
So they're going to play 8 regular season games. And then if at the end of the 8 regular season games, if the 9th place team is within 4 games of the 8th place team, then they would have a play-in for that final 8th spot. But everything else is pretty much, you know, status quo. They still going to do 7 games series, stuff like that. I didn't see whether they would do 1 through – I'm guessing they would do 1 through 16. I didn't see that anywhere, but that's pretty much the gist of it. You on mute, bro.
Well, my bad. So, I'd rather they had been more innovative and had some more innovation, because I think this was a prime time to do that. So it's not what I wanted to do. You know, of course, I wanted to scrap and get rid of the whole conference thing, because I thought it would have been cool. But, good for them that they're gonna finish the season. You know what I'm saying? Still going to have an asterisk, though. Somebody going to be mad. Somebody going to be mad that they didn't get to make it. Somebody's going to say, you know, we were in certain position before the pandemic, yada, yada, yada. So we'll see how it goes, man. We'll see how it goes.
LJ?
I think the NBA got it right. I had to correct you, Greg. The NBA was not the first league to start back. NASCAR been going. NASCAR was the first one in the U.S. Don't forget the American, the cornhole players. They stopped. They was back. I watched cornhole.
Anyways, I watched that too. Let me say this there. Let me correct myself. The first team-oriented sport to come back, because I don't watch no NASCAR. Unless you're going to say the pit crew is a team.
I mean, they're a team. Are you talking about in the U.S.? They've been playing. They started playing soccer before overseas.
Nah, I'm talking about the U.S. I'm talking about U.S. leagues. U.S. leagues. Go ahead.
I think this is good for the league. I agree with Greg though. I feel like this was a great opportunity for them to be a little bit more innovative and kind of try a few things without having fans complain too much. You know, I think fans right now, they just want their professional sports back, and if there's a few gimmicks here and there, I don't think fans would complain too much. And I just think it would have been a great opportunity. I do think that the 8-9 game potentially is a great opportunity for an exciting matchup with especially some of the young players in the league. I think it'll give teams that weren't – they were just a few games back. It's going to be tough still. I mean, really, for teams that were really out of it, you know, like Phoenix, for example, I think they was like 4 or 5 games back. They really have like a minuscule shot making the playoffs. Same thing with Washington. They almost have no chance of making the playoffs. Orlando would like basically have to lose like every game. But good idea for the NBA. One thing I think that's hidden in this, I think the NBA, the reason they're extending the season out so far is because they want to be able to, at some point, put fans in the arena. I definitely think you'll see fans in the arena for the finals. But that's the hidden part of this that which I believe is why the NBA is so willing to push this season all the way out to October.
I'm not gonna necessarily say that the NBA got it wrong. I just would have like you say, to see them. I don't know why. I just would rather see them try to find a way to come back and find, even though all of them can't play for the playoffs, but find a way to bring all your teams back, because it was all your teams that got shut down. Now, I do get that the fact that, you know, with the time and with the situation, you can't just finish the whole regular season. So I'm not going to sit here and say they got it wrong, because I don't think they got it wrong. I just do wish that they would have found a way to bring the whole league back, just, you know, just for smaller fan markets, you know, because the only teams that have fans aren't playoff teams. Yeah, and the people who need to make TV contract money aren't just playoff teams. So I would have wished they would have found a way to do it. But other than that, nah, they didn't get nothing wrong. I just, you know, wish they would have been a little bit more innovative. That's all.
Tweety, which NBA team paid you to say that?
Nobody, bro. I just understand how it goes. I understand that you got to play a certain amount of games for your team to be able to keep you. That's all I'm saying, bro. Anybody pay for saying
that? I guess it's not bad. I don't see the point in the ninth seed if they're within four games.
Dumbass idea. Hey.
Whatever. I don't see the point in if the ninth seed is within four games, they get a play in. So basically, all you're telling me is if they play eight games and Portland don't make up no ground, or New Orleans makes up no ground within those eight games, they still get a chance to make the playoffs. That doesn't make sense to me, because they're currently 3.5 games behind. So all they have to do is maintain status quo, and they'll get a chance to go. They'll get a chance to do the play-in game against.
They can still could lose ground.
No, I know that. I said if they don't, I said all they have to do is maintain status quo, and they'll get a chance to play. A chance to get into the playoffs with the play-in game, because all you have to do is be within four games of the eighth seed to get the chance to play in the play-in.
So is it mathematically possible for them to stay at the place they're at? I mean, like, they're going to have to play certain teams to match up against one another.
You know what I'm saying? So they're 3.5 back right now. So all they have to do is, like I said, maintain status quo. Maintain in the spot they in, don't make up any ground. And they have a chance. That doesn't make – to me, that's not fair for Memphis, right?
That's also assuming that nobody else is winning. I mean, you're assuming that if they stay status quo, that means the other teams are going to stay status quo.
No, I'm saying staying status quo in the standing-wise. That's all I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. You're assuming that if they stay status quo – that the other teams have, they could go 500 or whatever and stay even, and Memphis could win all eight of their games, and they won't be within 3.5. You know, they won't be within it. So it's not necessarily if you just stay.
I'm not talking about. I'm not saying they're going 500. I'm just saying all they have to do is stay within four games of, like, not make up any ground. Just stay within four games of Memphis, and then they still get a shot at the end of the eight. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying what hell that both of them can win the rest of their games. You know what I'm saying? And they'll still be within three and four games of them, and they'll still get a chance to make the playoffs, which I don't see how that's fair to Memphis when through 65 games they were ahead of them, and then they do another eight. And within 73 games, they're still ahead of them, but somehow they don't get the right to automatically go to the playoffs. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, it's just the same as you could – make the argument with Portland saying, well, how is it fair to us that we had 15, 16 games left and we only get to play eight to make up that 3.5? Somebody's going to get the short end of the stick one way or the other. There's nothing out there that's going to make it fair to everybody. Somebody going, like Golden State could have said, well, shoot, if we could get Steph back, we could come our way back for the eighth seed. Is it true? Probably not, but still. But it ain't going to be fair to everybody.
What y'all think about the lottery odds staying where they are as of March 11 when the season, you know, ended abruptly? What y'all think about that?
I mean, shit, 65 games, how much more do you need to play to figure out how things will play out? You know what I mean? Now, could there be a change in the standing, you know, 13 drop to 14 or, you know, 15, 16 comes up to 15 or something like that? Yeah, it's possible. But they changed the lottery odds anyway to where those bottom teams are kind of evened out as far as the chances they get for the number one spot. So, to me, that don't really make a difference.
Yeah, I don't think it makes a big difference because of the fact that it's a lottery. Yeah, I mean, the fact it's nothing guaranteed in the lottery, so I don't think it really makes a big difference about them leaving it where it's at. That's about it.
Golden State about to extend their dynasty another 6 or 7 years. This is time. No, I'm serious. Like, listen to what I'm saying. Do you remember when the Spurs were really good? David Robinson got hurt.
Got they hurt. Stuck. They were able to draft
Tim Duncan.
I'm not saying
that there's a Tim Duncan in this draft, but I'm saying they could potentially get the number one pick and get the best player available. I mean, not even the best player available. They could really pick the best person who suits them because they already have Klay and Steph and Draymond, and they could potentially extend their dynasty, you know, 3, 4, 5 more years, or, you know, have that young building block in place, and let Klay, Draymond, and Steph put, you know, teach them how to win, and then by the time they out the door, they got, you know what I mean?
They still got Wiggins too. They got Wiggins too.
Exactly. Trey, that's what I'm saying. This could help them extend their stay at the top of the league another 5, 6, 7 years. Like I said,
You think Wiggins trade, babe, Malcolm?
Oh, they're gonna trade Wiggins and the top pick if they get it.
For what?
Woo-hoo!
Kevin Durant.
For who?
Man, that boy Draymond to go in the corner and cry if they do that, man.
The number one pick for if they did it with Andrew Wiggins. Who out there to go get? Who you want to do that to go give up that much to get?
That's a lot. I think Wiggins fit in perfectly with that system, actually.
Pick. And Wiggins, like, first of all, the number one overall pick is a lot by itself.
A lot.
Win Wiggins? Like, who worth that? That's on the market.
You on mute, LJ. What'd you say, Tweety?
Who on the market that's worth that? What you just said. If they get the number one pick, that and Wiggins is trade bait. Like, what is out there for them to get for that?
I mean, there's a lot of people that can be had. I mean, you want to go like LaMarcus Aldridge, they can hit up San Antonio for it.
Tom, did you really just say LaMarcus the first pick?
What did you say?
I'm not going to say that, man.
I'm not saying that it's people not out there. But
you really said that you gonna, somebody going to bring up trade LaMarcus Aldridge for the first pick?
Who's gonna give up the number one overall pick for LaMarcus Aldridge? I don't see that happening.
Are you gonna? Not even then.
But Wiggins was the last number one pick traded, right? Wasn't Wiggins the last number one pick that was traded for Love, right?
He just got traded.
Either him or Markel.
They just traded D'Angelo.
Markel Fultz got traded too, so you know.
It was Wiggins.
Okay.
Yeah, because he got traded this season.
Gotcha. Okay.
And Wiggins ain't worth nothing, really.
I think Wiggins was overrated at Minnesota, but I think Wiggins fit him perfectly with Golden State. He ain't got no pressure on him.
He can't shoot.
He don't have to.
He ain't got to shoot. He ain't got to shoot on that team.
What are you going to do?
Play defense and hit corner threes and run like a gazelle. That's all you do.
Like he's built to do.
think Harrison Barnes when they won their first championship.
Ooh, don't do Harrison Barnes like that.
Better defensive player than Harrison Barnes like that. He better defensive than Harrison Barnes. He's more athletic than Harrison Barnes.
Listen, Harrison Barnes ain't never been better than Andrew Wiggins in the NBA.
And Harrison Barnes choked. Harrison Barnes, the reason why they lost in 2016.
They hit a corner three.
Moving to the next topic. How should pro fans, how should pro sports handle the fans' viewing experience with everything coming back? What should they do to enhance it? Tweety, we'll start with you.
That's a good question, man. Honestly, I don't know if there is anything that they can do to, quote unquote, as far as the leagues to enhance the fan experience. I think that's more, I guess you could say they could get with the TV stations and figure out something, but otherwise, man, it's really going to be up to the production companies to make the viewing experience better for the fans. I think the leagues are more concentrated on finding a way to get the fans back into the arena. I don't think they really are concentrated on just trying to make the fans have a better viewing experience. I think it's more of the fact that they're trying to get fans back into the stands. And it'll be up to the production companies and to the TV stations to make the viewing experience better.
So I thought about this topic and I tried to be creative in my mind. I mean, first of all, I think I've seen an article, maybe one of y'all posted it in thread, what Deshaun Jackson was saying about the players being mic'd up. I think that'll be cool, you know, more of the behind the scenes stuff. Of course, you know, you got a sense of that stuff because, you know, because of the language that they use. But if you give them, you know, some access to the locker room, stuff like that, that might be cool. But as far as the fans and their involvement, really the only thing that I could come up with is maybe if, you know, some fans are super fanatic, right? They wear the costume, they paint their face and all that. Maybe if they recorded videos and submitted it to the league and to the teams, maybe the teams would say, okay, you know, give a notification to that fan, like, you made it. You know, they might have some type of lottery system or something like that, like, oh, you made it this week. We're going to air you during the week, during the game. So, you know, look out for yourself, you know, during the game. So, because you might have a time where you might have a critical part in the game, defensive stop, something like that, where you might have, you know, all right, now we're going to hear from, I don't know, the Cincinnati Bengal fans or whatever. You get to see yourself on TV. You get to see yourself, you know, cheering on your team, wearing your guard. I don't think you could do anything live with the fans, just from the mere fact that, you know, you got a censor. So ain't no telling what they'll say or what they'll do, so you can't have live fans on live TV. But that was really the only thing that I could come up with as far as having the fans directly involved.
LJ.
Where you at, LJ?
My bad. I forgot it was on me. My bad. what can sports do? I think it differs by sport. I think the NBA is really, if you can give fans a little bit of, like, a little bit more behind the scenes about, like, the tactics of the game and, like, you know, everybody else was saying, just a little bit more insight into what goes on, what, you know, players kind of like daily routine and whatnot. I think a good thing for fans to be able to see would be, like, pregame workouts. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, when you go out there and everybody kind of messing around in warm-ups and all that. I mean, like, you know, when players are coming out there like 3 hours before the game and, you know, they doing different things. You know how a few years back when the Warriors really started making their run, Steph Curry's pregame workouts became like a big deal and people started recording him and all that about all his ball handling stuff. I think stuff like that would be the biggest deal and, you know, the mic'd up thing. Anything you can
But real quick, LJ, let me just ask you this. So you're talking about, you know, hours in advance, the pre-workout deal. Like, I mean, obviously you don't have no time to show that live. You mean, so you're going to just record it and then show it later, like right before the game? Like, how would that go?
I mean, you just fit it into different parts of the game. You know, just kind of like they do, like, other pre-recorded segments or not pre-recorded video. You just find different spaces that you plan to fit it in the game. Another thing I think that could be that fans might like, especially fans who bet, would be like advanced stats. I'm not a big advanced stats guy, like all them little nerd stats. But I think, you know, some fans might like that. But anything, just give it a try. You know, just give it a try. And if it don't work, you got 8 games, you know what I'm saying? Trash it. But I mean, some other leagues have tried things that have kind of failed. Like some soccer teams have tried that putting the cardboard boxes or whatever in stands. And one of them had some controversy because it was like a porn character or something like that. Some nasty guy somehow got in the stands. So, I mean, I just don't think all that's worth it. Like I said, I mean, after a while, you don't get used to it. Like, I watch racing. I've been watching racing all the time. My 5-year-old son liked to watch it. I don't even notice that it ain't no fans.
Damn,
I mean,
you rambling.
As they go, Greg talked longer than me. What are you saying? As you see it as they go, you know what I'm saying? You don't get used to it. So, I mean, you get used to it. And I think at some point, most of the teams going forward at some point will have fans in the seats. Come on, tell us some shit that don't make sense.
Yeah, exactly what's coming. Exactly what the fuck is coming. So I don't think they're going to do a whole lot. I think they'll do a little bit of what he said. They'll show a whole lot of advanced stats and stuff like that in the broadcast. But I think it'll be a lot of it'll be what you see at the stadium. Like, they'll do a lot of background music and stuff like that while they're playing.
But you see, I also background think, music?
Huh?
What? Hey, hold on, time out. One, you don't see music. Two, they always have music. That's nothing new.
I said they'll play. You will hear a lot of background music. Is what I said. I didn't say see.
Oh, you said see.
And two,
see,
bro. I said hear.
Rewind the tape.
I said you'll hear a lot of background music. I send y'all the recording. And then what I also think you'll have is a lot of they'll do a lot more guest appearances. Like, say, to give you names like Stephen A. Smith and stuff like that, will be, you know, comment on the game live. I think they'll do a lot of more guest experiences like that. But I don't think there's really a lot that they can do. I think trying to implement fans is just make it too weird. So I think a lot of it would be just watching basketball and then other people talking about it live, like Stephen A., Mass Kellerman, Chris Broussard. Well, he don't really work for ESPN anymore. But, you know, people like that is what I think you'll see. But it ain't a lot they can do talking about basketball. By football time, I think a lot of stuff would be back to normal. So I don't think there's much they'll do. And then baseball is really not going to make a difference. Because it is not a lot going on in baseball
y'all really,
as it is.
Y'all really think in September everything going to be back to normal?
I think they're going to try to make it as close as possible. I really do.
I still think we're going to be in the middle of this pandemic, might even hit a second wave. So I'm not sure if it's going to – I mean, I'm one of those – I just believe it when I see it. Like, I don't think nothing is guaranteed right now. And I think the NFL feel that way too. They just going with what's going along because – they really ain't got no choice.
I mean, like, they already came out and said they expect their stadiums to be full. They already came out and said that.
You can I was just going to say, you can expect it, but until it come around,
Sweetie,
you don't
ask him who said it. Don't ask him who said it. Where he read that at?
I ain't seen that shit nowhere.
Really
want to know?
I've seen that. I'll give Malcolm that. I've seen that. They really do think they about to have fans up in the stadium.
No. I didn't say they think they have fans. He said fool.
I think they said fool too.
They're pushing fans. But like I was telling, you can expect anything. I don't think.
I need proof that somebody said that, because everything I have seen, Malcolm just be making shit up. Everything I have seen, read, heard,
that's tough, boy,
has been football teams expecting or hoping to have fans, but it's doubtful that they'll be full, at least, especially at the beginning of the season. For example, Pittsburgh, I think they started selling Pittsburgh started selling tickets maybe like 2 or 3 weeks ago, something like that, maybe a little longer.
Hey, right now, I'm looking at an article right now. Troy Vincent said it.
Let me see. Send it to me.
I'll send it to you.
Pittsburgh only put half of their seats up, half of their seats, stadium up for bid. Not for bid, but for sale.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, I don't know if somebody said it. I didn't hear it. I'm not saying it happened or said overset or not. I just honestly don't think that it's gonna be full stadiums. When the NFL come back, I find that real hard to believe. I find it hard to believe where we gonna go from trying to find a way to even include fans in the sport to having full stadiums in less than what, 4 months, 5 months. I don't see that happen.
Okay, he did say that. I was wrong on that. He did say that.
They optimistic though. You know, they being optimistic.
Oh, that's great. Like that, honestly, that's the best attitude to have if you're not playing. Like it's easy to be that when it ain't your time. But when it's your time and they start telling you, nah, you can't do this and nah, you can't do that, then you start to get a little less optimistic. You start to get a little bit pessimistic. And it's like, hey, when we gonna do this, are we gonna be able to do this? So I would love to see it happen. I just don't think it'll happen with full stadiums. I just want to see them on the field.
I agree. I can't see it because, you know, the NFL, their thing, kind of like college football too, man, they are big on numbers. Like, they'll pack them people in there like sardines just to say we had 100K in the stadium. Right. You know, like, you know, Cowboys Stadium got standing room only tickets. And people on top of each other. So, first of all, you want people to be on top of each other. Like, are they going to wear masks? Are you going to take temperatures when they walk in? Like, all that, like, that stuff is not going away. Those CDC guidelines, they're still going to be in place. So, I don't know, man. I don't know. But I think that's their goal, though. That's what they're saying.
Them CDC guidelines don't mean shit.
Ah, here you go.
I'm just saying. I'm just telling you, they don't mean nothing. It's just like when they were starting, I don't want to slide over into politics, but when these different states started talking about reopening, the CDC supposedly had this huge thing of guidelines saying, oh, you're supposed to wait until this, that, and the third. And the states was like, yeah, that's great. But you keep reading it. Let me know how it worked out for you.
Some stuff more than others, but there is, to me, going to be like a certain baseline of things that everybody is going to be doing. Like, you're going to see hand sanitizer stations all everywhere. I do think they will be doing temperature checks. I think because when I go to the courthouse, you know, when you go to the jails, they check your temperature when you walk in. You know what I'm saying? So I think they're going to be doing that. Now, are they going to turn you away if you got a fever? That's going to be the crazy part. Then, like, do you get a refund? You know, so it's a quagmire. It's a bunch of stuff they got to work through. And the NFL, man, they just out there. You know, they just out there. They want to be first, like always.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, man.
I was going to say, moving on. So the MLB came out with the owners came out with a at first, they came out with like a 50-game proposal, and then they came back with they rejected the 114-game proposal that the players came back with. So it's looking more and more like they're getting further and further away from an agreement. It sounds like they had an agreement, and then the owners kind of reneged on it. But do y'all think the MLB is going to have a season this year? LJ, we'll start with you.
Don't go with me somewhere on my computer.
I ain't just gonna say don't go with me.
Now, my little TV thing had fucking CNN started playing, and I thought y'all could hear it.
But we ain't trying to hear your Trump views. Go ahead.
I can hear it anyway, so
I was trying to mute it and cut it off. But do I think the MLB will have a season? I would say if Major League Baseball does not come to an agreement within the next 2 weeks, they will not have a season. Period. I think it seems like the players want to go, they want to play high games, and maybe they'll do some accounting magic with the numbers, the deferments and all that, which I really don't understand, so I'm not going to pretend to. But the owners want fewer games. I've heard different reasons why the owners want fewer games, but I don't think the players want fewer games. And unless they can meet in the middle, which is, I think, whatever the owners had originally, which is probably around, I think the owners had originally proposed like an 82-game schedule or somewhere around there. If they can't meet in that middle and then find a common ground with salaries, which, I mean, obviously that goes without saying, I don't think they're going to have a season. And it'll be interesting because MLB, I think, whatever their collective bargaining agreement, I believe, expires at the end of next season as well. So it's pretty interesting. But, no, that's a no for me. I don't think they're going to have a season. As of right now, I give them 2 weeks.
I honestly don't have any idea, man. My main takeaway from Major League Baseball and all of this is, surprisingly, to me, it looked like they broke, man. You know, they struggling to pay their players. I don't know what's going on.
They ain't broke,
you know,
I can tell you that.
Well, I mean, and that's relative. You know what I'm saying? Of course, they got a lot of money, but they probably don't have as much as the other leagues do because it's not as popular. You know, they just don't have that much momentum behind them. So, I don't know, man. I think about some of these mom and pops restaurants, you know, locally, you know, when the pandemic started, and you're like, damn, they going out of business. They was really struggling. Like Major League Baseball is reminding me of that. They must have had some financial woes going on before COVID. And they just kind of coming to a head because we talking about player salaries. I mean, and I know all the leagues got to deal with that little issue, you know, and prorated and stuff like that. But baseball just sound like they don't want to play their players. You know, bottom line, it just sounds absolutely crazy to me. So I don't know as far as the timing, like what LJ said, but I do know time is of the essence. I think they probably just need to go with an 82-game season. You're not going to play 160-some-odd baseball games. Like, it's not going to happen. So they just need to kind of work with what they have. But it's going to be critical, man, just for the salvage of their game because, like I said, they were already losing popularity anyway. So, I don't have any idea. Be frankly honest with y'all, man, I don't really care because I don't watch baseball like that to the playoffs anyway. So I wouldn't miss it, you know, to be honest.
Last for me. Tweet it.
That's America's
if you're
game.
Still there, tweet it.
Man, be quiet, bro. I don't think they're going to have a season. And I do think it is based on money, but unlike Greg, I don't think baseball broke. I do think, though, because this has happened before, I think this is more of the unions trying to fight to keep power than anything. Cause like LJ said, the collective bargaining agreement is up in what, less than a year. And I think that the owners are trying to use this to get a little bit more power back from the players as far as how they can compensate them and how their contracts are structured. Out of it. I think they're trying to get a little bit more say so back from the players. And I think the players are actually saying, no, we're not gonna give it back to you. Cause it's baseball players have proven before that they will not play. They have proven in the past that they will not play no matter what the circumstances. If they don't want to play, if they don't feel like they're on a fair end, they will not play. And I think this is another situation of that.
I think they will have a season. Yes, baseball is not as nationally popular. Baseball is more of a regional sport, to kind of say what Greg was talking about. So if you look at all the teams' regional coverage, it's a lot grander than what it is national. And they're not on as national coverage as much as you know, like the other sports. Like, nobody in New York is watching the Arizona Diamondbacks versus the St. Louis Cardinals. But they're watching the Yankees, if that makes sense.
Baseball fans and that regional bullshit. Y'all kill me.
It is regional.
Go ahead.
There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that watch the Rangers, but won't watch any other team.
That is regional because nobody watches. That's why it's regional. Yeah. It ain't
only
because people root for certain teams.
Only games I see on is Atlanta Braves coming on TBS and all that. But yeah, that's it.
There's no national
and,
game.
And Houston Astros come on Fox Southwest a lot.
Sunday night game. ESPN has a Sunday night game and the Monday night game. Same thing.
I ain't watching none of that.
They don't do Monday night. They do Wednesday night.
I ain't watching none of that. Sunday night and Wednesday night. That's still 2 days a week. Still
who watching?
I just said that.
No, you said they don't get as much coverage as the other leagues.
I said nationally, like they nobody do. In New York Fox, is watching.
When Fox has their baseball games on Saturday, I can't remember if it's Saturday or Sunday during the day. They don't nationally broadcast.
Who watches?
A lot of it is regional.
Nobody watches. It ain't regional just because nobody
watches. Okay, whatever. Agree to disagree, but I think they will have a season because one, like Tweety said, they shown the propensity not to play before, but that people are not getting paid like they used to. Like especially after they hit the 30-year old mark.
Right.
So not everybody has that money. What?
I guess to me that would make them even more comfortable to sit out because the baseball players are getting paid more now than they were back then.
No, the contracts are getting longer, but not as many people are getting paid as they used to. So like the people that are having those good seasons after the age of 31, 32, back then they were getting those another contract, a large contract. Now they're not. They're paying the younger players. So not everybody
Albert Pujols messed that up. I think Albert Pujols messed that up.
Yeah, man, Cliff.
So I would say I think what they're going to do is end up kind of agreeing to the similar agreement they already had, close to an 82-game schedule as possible. But I think the players will take a little bit less of a pay cut than what they were originally planning on taking. But I don't think they can afford not to have a season. So that's why I think they will.
I think a labor fight would be really bad right now. You got a lot of people out here struggling, like everyday people, because of the pandemic or for whatever reason. You know, economically, a lot of people are doing bad. They're not going to want to see a bunch of millionaires and billionaires fighting over money. So I think that's going to put a real bad taste in the actual fans' mouths. So they got to get it right. And just their whole relationship between ownership and the players is just not a good one. Of course, you know, basketball is the golden mark. They're doing really well with Michelle Robinson and Silver. And no work stoppage is even close to coming about. Football is getting a little bit better. Even though the players have, you know, no kind of real leverage. But in baseball, the players did have a lot of leverage. I just don't know what the fight is about. Again, like I say, you know, when I say broke, I mean, I'm relatively speaking, of course, they're still billionaires. But they're not at the top of the food chain like they were, say, maybe in the 60s or the 70s or the 80s when it comes to other leagues and its popularity and the money they're probably bringing in relative to other leagues. So I think they got to get it right. I don't think, like Malcolm said, I don't think they can afford to go without playing. So you know, it's critical.
I just seen something pop up. MLB Players Association stands firm against additional pay cuts. Resoundingly rejects league.
I think
the biggest thing is that they want a full prorated salary. They don't want to take any pay cuts. They want the full
prorated salary.
I think that's the biggest.
Crazy.
No, I mean, I guess what they're saying is the full prorated salary. Like, if I play 40 games, pay me for 40 games. That's what they want. Like,
no, I agree with that.
That's what they mean by because they don't want that to be cut. They don't want the salary. If let's say they do have an 82 game schedule, they don't want that 82 game salary to get cut. Also, like, I need to get paid for 82 games.
So,
if I'm gonna play 82 games. That's where the players coming from.
So to answer Greg's question, Major League Baseball is the number to say all y'all they don't make money and don't nobody watch it. Major League Baseball is the second highest grossing sport in America. I mean, not in America, but in the world. NFL number one. Major League Baseball number two.
Really don't want to say
they ain't broke.
But yeah, I mean, you're looking at globally. I mean, baseball is a global game. But I just
no, I don't know, I'm saying MLB. I said MLB. I ain't saying the Major League MLB. They don't know how
MLB. MLB is
probably I don't know how they do their coverages internationally. I don't know how they do internationally, but football, NFL is number one, MLB is number two, and the Premier League is number three.
Hmm.
So
okay. I still ain't watching.
I think NBA comes in at four. I didn't say he's watching it, bro. I'm just saying a lot of people do watch it, and it does make a lot of money. So they not broke is what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Gotcha.
Now, there are teams like the Tampa Bay Rays that struggle with attendance. So, you know, they're a little less financially well off than the Yankees.
They need to
the Cubs, the Dodgers.
Yeah, I think in baseball, like baseball you just Tampa you Bay, got a Tampa lot Bay of teams. Fall,
bro. They the only team last year that didn't make no money, fam.
Yeah, you got a lot of teams in baseball that nobody cares about, man. It's a lot of teams nobody cares about in baseball.
That's what I said.
It's a lot of people. Like you say, it's a lot of people in Atlanta that don't care about the Rangers, but they will watch the Braves. It's a lot of people in Texas that don't care about the Astros. Let's get it rich. They will watch the Rangers. Like, people in North Texas going to watch the Rangers. People down there going to watch the Astros. Like, that's
I mean, that's every sport, though.
No.
Right? Time out. Hold on. I'm about to. Now, I got more experience than all three of y'all on knowing what teams people watch based on where they live. I've lived in damn near every inch of this country, not every inch, but I lived on the East Coast, the Midwest, the South.
Okay.
Where I live at now, they watch the Colts, the Pacers, and that's it. They don't like the Cowboys. They might watch some of the Chicago team, but they don't like the Cowboys. They don't watch the Cowboys. They don't watch the Packers.
So I'm gonna ask you a question. So if New England and
Kansas City,
Pittsburgh is on Monday night, they not watching.
Everybody watching that.
My point is, you're saying that baseball is regional because only people from their areas watch teams from their areas because that's what they like. It's like that in every sport, but more people like up those other sports, so more people will watch outside of just their area. Like, you know, when I lived in Colorado, you wasn't going through Colorado and people was talking about, oh, I can't wait for the Cowboys game to come on. No, the Broncos suck, but people still had on their orange and blue. And Mile High was still full every Sunday or Monday or Thursday, whichever time they had a game. Sports are regional in general when it comes to professional sports. But in those other sports, people tend to follow or will at least watch more teams outside of just their market. And I think that's because I think part of it is because their college sports are a lot more well-known. So you become attached, if you will, or become fans of players before they come to the professional leagues, as opposed to MLB, unless it's like, you know, a handful of dudes, you got to wait until they're like 35 before Major League Baseball teams will even let them play in the damn MLB. We'll let them get to the big show versus if I'm a LeBron or if you watch Steph Curry tear up the NCAA tournament, even if you from he played college in North Carolina. You watch him tear it up in the NCAA tournament. The next year, he played for Golden State. Maybe you was a Bobcats fan or Hornets, whatever they was called at that time. But then now he with Golden State, so now I'm a Bobcats fan and I like Steph Curry, so I'm gonna watch them too. But in baseball, unless you follow baseball like that, you don't hear about baseball players and shit, most of them until they like 25, 26 because of the way the MLB system is set up.
I would say that narrative is changing. Like, they're starting to infuse the younger players sooner and earlier. So they may spend a year, year and a half in the minors before they come up. But it did used to be like that. Most of them didn't make it to the major leagues until.
Not most players because MLB teams still try to do that thing where I forgot what the cutoff year is.
Service time.
So they try to keep them in the minor so they don't have to pay them. So it's still very, very, very much prevalent in the MLB. And again, how do most people in the United States know who Zion Williamson is? Because he was all over the TV at Duke. Same thing, you know, LeBron James kind of different, but Carmelo Anthony. Just go on and on about a lot of these guys. It's because of what they did in college and the stage that that particular college sport is on versus, no disrespect to baseball, but nobody really pays attention to college baseball, college World Series. Some people do. I'm not saying it's not watched. But you can go to probably 85% of the offices in America and doing college basketball season, doing March Madness, somebody in there is going to be – a good percentage of those people are going to be filling out a bracket. Not all of them, but a good percentage.
I agree. But on to next, whatever.
Hey, Malcolm, you eating now too?
See what I'm saying? Everybody want to talk about me, though. Hey, nah,
nah, nah. My worst case changed.
Yeah, sure it did.
So, Drew Brees made some comments the other day. regarding the flag. I mean, if you listen to the interview, he wasn't really talking about this situation going on, really. He was asked a question, how should he feel?
What was the call of the question? What was he asked?
I was telling you that before you really interrupted.
You were telling the semblance of it, but
no, he was asked how should he feel if NFL players decide to return to kneeling during the national anthem. And he gave his answer. So,
okay.
Tweety, where you want to go by?
Huh? Well, I guess if you ask me how I feel about what he said, he shouldn't have said it because even at the time, I would have thought that was the wrong thing to say. But it's one of those things. I think as far as that question though and that answer, he kind of got put in a situation where he probably should have just said no comment, but he answered the question.
Oh, he definitely got set up.
That's what I'm saying. Like, but it's one of those, you got a brain. Like, you think, no comment, next question. Like, you got to understand the temperature of what's going on. Even though I don't think what he said had nothing to do with the quote-unquote actual protest, it does have something to do with the overall cause and why it's even a protest in to begin with. So, he should have just said no comment and kept it moving, man. That's really what it comes down to.
Okay, genius in the room. Go ahead. Oh, so now you don't know you're a genius. LJ, go.
Hey, put some respect on the name my mama gave me. You mean? Put some respect. Now, look, I want to address two crowds right now. Number one, I don't even know why do people – this is my question, yeah, and nobody – you don't have to answer it right now. But this is my question for the athletes and anybody who criticized what Drew Brees said the other day. Why you didn't have a problem when he said the same thing in 2017?
Facts.
I mean, he didn't say it word for word, but he literally said the exact same thing almost in 2017. The circumstances were still the same. No disrespect to George Floyd, but Malcolm Brown situation had happened just 3 years before that, and similar to what's going on now, people were rioting, protesting in the street, civil disobedience. The same thing had just recently happened. Ain't no different circumstances that they protesting these last 7-8 days or however many it's been. Than has previously happened, right? So there's no difference. So why are people upset about his comments now and they were then? To me, it's inauthentic. I respect Drew Brees more than I respect the people who jumping out the window now and say, oh, I can't believe you. Nah, fam, you should have said that when he said it in 2017. If that comment is wrong today, it was just as wrong in 2017. The difference is in 2017, you wouldn't get no cool points for saying it. Because one doesn't pop it off, everybody wasn't protesting. And if you would have had tried to check him in 2017, you'd have had to have some heart because you was gonna be out there by yourself. Now, when you jump out the window now, you got everybody with you. Oh yeah, Elf Drew Brees and this, that, and the third. So that's number one. I don't understand people. It's a lot of fake wokeness going on for black people, white people, everybody. Number two, how do I feel about his comments? I mean, I think it's arrogant of anybody, whether you I shouldn't say arrogant. Let me take that back. I disagree with what he said as far as saying that it's not okay for people to protest during the national anthem, right? I don't recall anywhere in the Constitution it's saying you can protest as long as you don't protest during the national anthem. First, and I don't recall there being any laws or anything like that that require you to stand during the national anthem. As a matter of fact, I'm going to guess that most people, when you hear the national anthem and you're fucking at home, you just sit down or you keep doing what you're doing, right? So I totally disagree with him on the notion that you should stand. And I don't think I hate when they bring up the military. It has nothing to do with the military. First of all, one of the things we do is we fight for and defend the Constitution of the United States. Part of the Constitution of the United States is you have the right to protest. I don't know why these people who bring that up can't fucking marry the two. It's like a foreign thing to them. They don't understand it. The other thing is, I think I was talking to my kids about this earlier, and I don't know if respect or tolerance is the right word, but I think people have to, I will use me specifically. I don't feel like you have to agree with Drew Brees, but I will respect his opinion for him to say, hey, my grandfather's fault in World War II or whatever, and this is the meaning that I take from them fighting in World War II. This is what the flag means to me, and this is how I see the flag. So this is the honor I place upon the flag, right? So I respect that. And I don't agree with his opinion, but I respect his right to have an opinion. And I think him, are we gonna talk about him apologizing or no? Is that gonna be separate?
If you want to,
go ahead.
You want to.
Sucker shit 101. Sucker shit. What you apologizing for? I didn't know. That's what you believe. You just said it in 2017. And then everybody else, well, I believe it. What do you believe? He already said it 3 years ago. What are you talking about? He didn't change overnight.
Because of the backlash.
In a short conversation, you're going to change the same thing he's been thinking for the last 3 years? Come on, man.
Backlash. It's backlash.
And the fact that if you do go back to 2017, he kind of did I almost gave him credit for it in the group. In the group, he did one of those, I ain't gonna say fake protests, but you know our cap was during the flag. He did it before the flag on the national anthem. He was one of them, and I'm like, aha, because everybody, I know I seen the images and stuff about him kneeling. I had to just go watch the video. It was one of those Jerry Jones, we're going to do it before the national anthem. But
right.
And I'm like, LJ, and I can't speak from the military aspect because I've never been there. I've never even signed up for it. But I thought the whole idea of fighting to protect freedom is literally fighting to protect freedom. So that's why I just have to piggyback off LJ when you say you're going to tell somebody that they can protest, but you're going to put restrictions on when and where they can protest. That's not really a freedom that you're fighting for. That's kind of like a, you can do it as long as I tell you you can, and that ain't what this country is all about.
All right, is it my go?
Greg, go ahead.
All right, so here's my take on Brees. And I posted about it on Facebook too, just like LJ did. So this little background. You know, I went to college in New Orleans. My wife is from New Orleans.
Hold up, Greg.
Let me find out you and LJ
out here posting stuff on Facebook, trying to get ideas for the show. Trying to read people's comments and get ideas.
Nah, I mean, I posted about it.
That will work right there. What?
I posted about it when I first saw it. And so, like I said, you know, my wife is a huge Saints fan. I mean, like, ridiculous with it. And she bent off of Drew Brees like a long time ago for his comments, for the things that he says and he does. He had some very questionable stances about some shit when it comes to race in the past. So it's nothing new, right? It's nothing new. And like LJ said, I can appreciate him sticking to his guns That's who he is. But here's my thing with Drew Brees and his response to that call or that question. Drew Brees is either one of three things. And I'm going to go, he's either willfully blind, right? He's either that or he's a freaking blithering idiot, just a dumb, or he is suffering from early stages of CTE. It's one of the three going on with Drew Brees right now. I think it's more so willful blindness.
Why do you say that?
The question was, why do I say that?
Yeah.
Okay, because the call of the question was, you know, what are your thoughts on the process? And this dummy keeps on stating, you know, about the flag and the anthem. Like, it's clearly established that the protest is not anything against the anthem nor the flag. So it's like he just keeps on coming with that same shit, and he just refuses to see it for what it is. And I'm really, and I don't even want to say disappointed, because I don't give a damn about Drew Brees, really. I could care less. You know what I'm saying? What he eat don't make me shit. Drew Brees is obviously going to do what he want to do. You know, Drew Brees was in the press box at the LSU National Championship football game taking pictures with Donald Trump with a damn LSU shirt on. Drew Brees went to Purdue. His ass from Texas. Like, why are you taking photo ops with Trump? He's showing you who he is. So he's staying true to his form and who he is, and that's cool. But I just think for him to continue to come with that, you know, and I don't want to say Fox News, Breitbart, whoever, that same talking point about disrespecting the flag, disrespecting the anthem. It was never about that. And so for him to keep saying that, to me, is willful. I mean, and Drew Brees knows damn well, because his dad's an attorney. He knows Constitution, First Amendment, you got freedom to assemble, you got freedom of speech, therefore you got freedom to protest. He knows that there were black soldiers that fought in the same war as his grandfather. And he also, and if he don't know, he needs to know that some of them same soldiers, when they came back, some of them were lynched in their uniforms. You know what I'm saying? A lot of them were denied benefits, couldn't get housing. You know, they couldn't drink from water fountains. The same soldiers that went to war with his grandfather, black soldiers, had a much different experience. They didn't get a hero's welcome when they came back home. So I think it's insensitive. He definitely caved to peer pressure. You know, should have just stuck to his guns. Just say, fuck it, Drew Brees. Just be the unpopular guy. You know what I'm saying? Just be you. He getting his check anyway. He's going to have his job. They not going to bench him for Jameis Winston or nobody else. He's going to finish his career in New Orleans as the starting quarterback. He's going to go in folklore. He won the Super Bowl and all that. Just stick to your guns. Because we already know what he's going to do when he retires.
I got to disagree with you on a couple of
points. Of course.
Maybe you just saw it from a different perspective than I did.
Okay.
With me hearing Drew Brees, to me, like I said, what he was saying to me was, I don't think you should protest during the national anthem. I don't think he was saying anything about not protesting or about, as a matter of fact, I don't remember exactly what he said during this particular rendition of his speech. But in the one in 2017, before he even got to that point, he started saying about, you know, he understands that there's racism and inequalities and that, you know, every people need to do better and yada, yada, yada. You know, the same little dog and pony show. So he said that. Again, from my perspective, what I hear him saying is, I don't think you should protest specifically during the national anthem. And here's
why. He has a problem with the form. He has a problem with the form of protest.
How? I don't think he has a problem with the – I mean, maybe we're saying the same thing. I don't know if form is the right word. I just don't – I think he said – in my opinion, what he's saying is
– do that shit another time.
National anthem is on, don't protest, period. It doesn't matter who you are, what it's about, don't protest, period. I'm not saying I agree with him, but I think that's what he was saying. And again, when he was talking about his grandfathers, I don't think he was like meaning to disparage the memories of black soldiers or soldiers of any race that fought on the American side. during that time. I think he was specifically saying, listen, my grandparents fought in this war. From the memories I have of them, this is what that means to me. And I don't, that, I mean, that's how I took it. I could be wrong, but that's just my perspective. So I would disagree with you when about all the other.
I mean, I agree with you. I agree that that was his viewpoint. But again, I still think it's very ignorant of him to be so short-sighted and not think outside of himself. You know what I'm saying? His grandfather's
one of the only. Why does he have to care about other people?
Because he don't live in the world by himself. You live with other people in the world.
Yeah, why do you have to care?
You just going to say, fuck everybody?
Why does everything you say have to be based on what other people say? Right, like, I mean, that's just like saying, you should don't take any job that I want, so I can be like, you don't have to care about other people. You can have your own opinion if other people don't like it. That's okay. Hey, it's okay to say shit that people don't like.
I mean, I get that. Freedom of speech. I get that.
Freedom of speech. Just because you're an athlete, you don't all of a sudden have to stop. I mean, maybe you should for your image purposes and to maximize your.
I mean, clearly he don't care about that. He don't care about that.
You know, he's at the end of his career. But otherwise, why do people get so fed up, so caught up in? Oh, I just have to consider everybody on everything that I do. No,
I'm not saying consider everybody.
This is how I look at life. I wish you the best in life, as best your interests don't conflict with mine. That's how I view life. So if my interests are served better going left and yours are better served going right, I'm going left. Fuck your interests. It's nothing personal.
Yeah, I mean, see, the thing is, I mean, this might be a little bit, you know, beyond that. But, you know, in America, man, we really are working off a social contract, right? A lot of shit that we do in our society, we just basing it off of working in good faith, hoping that what we're doing is, you know, not going to trample on somebody else. You know what I'm saying? If we all take the attitude of, I don't give a damn about what's going on with nobody else, we're gonna be in a whole shitload of trouble. I mean, I get what you're saying, LJ, to a certain extent, right? Like, you do have to take care of your own household, and you can't, you know what I'm saying, be too much worried about other people in their own personal business. But I mean, you got to be considerate. I mean, especially something like that, like the example that he gave going to war. Your granddad is wasn't the only ones that went to war. You know what I'm saying? A lot of other soldiers of color, black soldiers, had different experiences.
He never said that, though.
He never said what?
My granddaddies were the only one, you know what I'm saying? He never made any remarks about any other soldiers. But anyways, I don't want to keep belaboring my point. I'll let, you know. Somebody else.
No, man. I mean, you know, and this might be a point where we just agree to disagree. But I mean, I just think that, you know, Drew Brees is a lot of other elite white folks, and that, you know, that's something that they never really think about because they don't have to. You know what I'm saying? They're in their own bubbles. They're in their own world. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? A lot of us don't have the privilege of doing that. You know what I'm saying? So that's just where I'm coming from. But I mean, we know what Drew Brees is about. He ain't changed. I don't expect him to change. I just don't have a lot of hope for Drew Brees being for the people. I see Drew Brees when he retires, probably going into politics. I don't know if he's gonna be behind the scenes. Drew Brees is an interesting cat. Like, if you like look at some of his background, like, you know, Drew Brees got scammed out of some jewelry recently. Y'all heard about that story? Like, how in the hell are you a damn – you almost never hear that from white players. That's some shit you expect Dez Bryant to do, right? You expect Dez Bryant to buy some fake diamonds and shit. But Drew Brees fell for the okie doke on some fake diamond type shit. Just totally weird, man. But
that was racist as hell, Greg.
Hey, I'm just keeping it real. I'm keeping it flat out honest. That's some shit you would expect a low-level NBA or NFL player fresh out the hood to do. go out and buy some damn diamonds worth $15 million. And he got a $12 million contract. That's some shit that, that niggas do. So Drew Brees bought some fake-ass diamonds, man. All that money he got, he couldn't get those shit surprised.
Mad because Drew Brees wants you to stand up.
Man.
Yeah, you're stereotyping. You marginalizing, but want Drew Brees to stand up.
Man, Drew Brees know what he can do. Drew Brees know where he can go in my book, man. My thing is, he got to look his teammates in the eye. You know what I'm saying? And that's another thing, you know, thinking outside of himself. He's on a team, right? Some of his comments probably were insensitive. He ain't give a damn about his teammates. So we're going to see, you know, hey, are they going to block for him? Are they going to catch them passes over the middle? I don't know.
They want to keep getting paid, they will.
Yeah, they are. Like Jeffrey said, they want that check. Yes, they are. They are definitely going to do that.
Yeah, I'm off my soapbox, Malcolm. I don't know.
Tweety, have you went?
Yeah, I'm going.
You started quick. It off.
I'm good. I'm not ready. Right. Like I just said, the man should have said no comment, bro. That one of them situations, you don't have to answer every question. Just say no comment.
Good Lord. Man, I forgot what I asked.
Man, how you feel about Drew Brees' comments?
Oh, they were just dumb. That's all I'm going to say, just dumb. I really ain't got a lot to say. I guess the thing that gets me is kind of like what LJ said. When we at home watching TV and they do a national anthem, we sitting down. So what's the difference from that and being in the stadium, in the presence, I guess? But I don't
fake
know.
Outrage, bro. Hey, man. His grandfather fought in wars about it. Go ahead, Drew Brees. Go ahead. It's a damn shame he didn't join the service as much as he loved that shit. You think his ass would have enlisted?
And, like, I mean, if you go ask, like, they always bring up, you know, somebody fought in the war and that's why we should stand. But if you go ask the veteran, they say kneeling is not disrespectful. Whose side are we supposed to take then when two different veterans?
Drew Brees ain't trying to hear that, bro. Drew Brees ain't trying to hear from no veteran, man. His granddaddy fought in war. You know what I'm saying? That's all he cared about. He ain't trying to hear that shit.
People should do what they feel and stop looking for a cosign. If you feel like kneeling, then just kneel. You don't need a cosign to kneel. Just do what you feel.
I agree with that, too.
I agree with that.
Big time. Yeah, big time.
All right, so.
Oh, like, what is this? What is this players coalition shit about anyway? Like, what can the NFL really do about police brutality? I don't know if I'm getting off topic, but what do y'all think about this whole Players Coalition stuff and Jay-Z? And, like, what's the purpose of that? What they really going to do?
Bro, I don't know what the Players Coalition is.
This
part of them two groups that was beefing a few years ago?
Right. So the players,
tell you what they going to do.
The Players Coalition is a group that's headed up by Malcolm Jenkins, Anquan Boldin, a few other players, and somehow Jay-Z got involved with the NFL. And so they got these lists of demands. But my thing is, shit, these NFL owners, they ain't out here beating folks and you know what I'm saying, putting their foots on their necks and shit. Like, what they got to do with the other? I mean, I get the protests and I get bringing attention to it. But, like, why are we looking to the owners in the NFL to make a difference? Like, what the hell they going to do? They don't even hire black coaches. You know what I'm saying?
But see,
have a black owner.
Yeah. Yes. I thought the original idea of the Players Coalition was to help diversity in the NFL ranks, like more minority head coaches and stuff. But
they ain't even doing that kind of shit. They ain't doing that at all.
They out here trying to be the new citizens on patrol, bro. You can't be out here getting it like that, bro. Like I'm with you, Greg. Like if that's what their goal is.
And then they hijacked the movement, you know what I'm saying? They kicked Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid out.
Yeah, they did get a boy to boot, didn't they?
That shit crazy, man.
Nah, I don't know. I never knew what the – I thought that, like I said, I was wrong about the initial purpose of it because I thought they was more about trying to add more diversity into the NFL ranks. I didn't know they was out here trying to control the streets. I ain't know that. So, no, I don't think they're going to be good. All
right, we got about 10 minutes left. So, last topic is, how should or should they even how should white college coaches and white athletes handle their black teammates? Like, what should they try to have a conversation with them, or should they just let it go, or should they play a role, or should they not? Like, you got a lot to say, so go ahead. Well, you got 10 minutes though.
Go to 11.
Hell no.
Oh, that's my time. But go ahead, because you like, you got a lot to say.
Who?
You. LJ.
LJ. I always got to be first.
You I'll go first. But you take the longest, too. Oh, we ain't got
keep
to
saying
it. Free to go.
Keep saying that. Because you got that damn pea brain. You can't put together but two sentences and they both be shit. What you said, what role do I think white college players and coaches should be playing in this? They don't have no role. I mean,
should they have a conversation with their team?
I mean, what the hell is there to talk about? No, I mean, this is what I think as a coach you should do. Reach out to your players, see how they're doing, find out if they're participating in any of the protests, remind them to be safe, let them know I can't think of the word. Let them know
the school counseling services.
Yeah, the services that are available to them. Let them know that you're here to talk and all of that. I think that's what you should do. Otherwise, you don't have no role. You don't have to put out a statement. You don't have to go trying to be somebody daddy and explain civil rights and all.
Did y'all see what Florida State coach did?
Yeah, I seen that. That was
posturing. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Why does he have to tell the public? I talk to everybody individually. You don't have to say anything. Just talk to people.
Just be real.
Yeah, you don't have to tell the media. But yeah, you know why? Because everybody looking for a cosign.
Yeah, you want brownie points.
All
of
them to be out there, hey, coach is doing the right thing.
Yeah.
He is woke. So when you want to send your kid to play in college, go play for this coach because he woke. He talked to all of his players. Fam, mind your business. You coming to play coach. You know what I'm saying? Mind your business. What services are available? If I'm available to talk. That's it.
I feel you. I can I go? That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Honestly, I agree with LJ when you say they don't really have a role. I think we expect people to go outside of themselves for something. Like, say, even and if they do, let's say a white coach or a white teammate who's has the mindset of I'm here to help, or I'm here for the cause, and say something way out of line. Not even racially, but just something that's way out of pocket. First thing we going to do is blast him. He just be quiet. Like I said, I'm not going to say be quiet, because I guess at the end of the day, that's like saying if you one of the policemen that seen the man doing it and you didn't say nothing, you just as guilty. So I'm not going to say be quiet, but just join. If you're going to get out there and join it, just do that. Go join the protest. Hold your sign up. Walk with people like they did with MLK back in the day. You don't have to go out of your way and get your foot stuck in your mouth like the coach of Florida State did when his player jumped out and said, no, that ain't true. He ain't do that. He sent us a text. Like, don't go overboard in something that really, let's just be honest, don't concern you. As far as you're not out here getting beat up. You're not out here, quote unquote, getting harassed by police, so to speak. So it's like if you don't.
Neither are you, Tweety.
Huh?
Neither are you.
Whatever, man. I say if that's what you're gonna do, man, just like I said, if you're just gonna join it. Don't try to go the extra mile if you don't know what you're doing. Same thing for anybody. If you don't know what you're fighting for, don't jump out there and fight. That's really what it can. White people the same way. If you don't know what's going on, shut up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm a little conflicted because, I mean, if we just keeping it a buck, we know that college sports is all about the money. And it's really, you know, the big premier conferences and teams, it's all about getting to the next level. So, you know, a lot of these coaches, I don't think they really care about their players so much as their record and, you know, they salary. So, like, I think the players themselves, these student athletes kind of need to smarten up and just, you know, see for themselves which coaches really have their best interests at heart. Do I think a conversation should be had? Probably so. You know, you got a locker room full of black kids. They probably have had different experiences that they have endured with police brutality. Because when you look at folks, and I don't know about y'all individually, but it's a lot of folks that have had different kind of interactions with law enforcement that make them feel a certain kind of way. So I think it's good, you know, to have that opportunity to have that discussion, because it's kind of just like the big elephant in the room. But if we just keeping it a buck, man, these coaches probably really don't give a damn about the player, man. They just pushing them through so they can, you know, have the program be whatever. Like that Florida State coach, dumb, you know, he was looking to get some brownie points and be the popular cool coach. And it backfired on his ass.
Well, like I said, if he would have actually did what he said he did,
it would have been all good. It would have been all good.
The only problem with what he said was the fact that he lied. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. If he actually did that, it would just be a regular thing. It wouldn't have been no big deal. But the fact that he lied and the player came out and blasted him for it is what made this a big deal.
I just don't see the point. Like, as a coach, everything that happened in the world is not an opportunity for you to go and talk to you. You don't always have to.
But this is not everything in the world. This is an issue.
This is not new. What have you seen? It's not new.
But at the same time, just like when we're looking at it from American governmental standpoint, it's never been addressed.
What does that have to do with a coach, though? It's the same. It has to do with a coach
because you have a team made up of different diverse individuals, and a bunch of them are black. I mean, come on now.
What is a coach supposed? What is he going to say that makes it so important?
He probably shouldn't say a damn thing. That's what I just said.
There's nothing for him to say. This is not a new incident.
But here's the thing, though. He at least needs to have a session where, I mean, like, and again, this is just me personally. I ain't never been no damn college coach, and I can be way out base and way wrong. But I would think that at least to have a session so where everybody can vent, maybe talk about it. If it's thick in the air, let's just address it so we can say, okay, we've addressed it, we've dealt with it, and we can move forward.
What are you addressing? What is that specific situation have to
There's be? A lot of college players that have dealt with police issues on college university campuses.
Okay. I mean, you got to define a lot, and we got to start putting proportionality in it. I need it because a lot is just
I would think that probably, and let's say, you know, let's talk about, you know, maybe the SEC schools, right? Ole Misses, the Tennessee, Vanderbilt, shit like that. Probably a good third of their players probably have dealt with campus police in a rough way. You know what I'm saying? If you're not the star player, you know, and with your name on a damn ticket and everybody coming to see you, you know what I'm saying, you're just a scholarship player, a red shirt, whatever, and they don't know who the hell you are, you probably done got, you know, messed with on campus.
Okay, so that right there is a specific issue that, yes, I can understand a coach speaking about getting his team together and talking about.
Right.
A guy dying in Minneapolis and protests and all that, to me, I'm not pulling my team. I will talk to the team, and if they say, And after I tell them, hey, you know, whatever, if anybody wants to talk, these are the services that we have available. I'm available. And then I'm going to reach out to my captains and say, hey, listen, do you guys think we need to have a meeting as a team or something like that? And if they think so from their pulse being on a team, then we'll do it. But otherwise, I don't see the need of this saying, hey, you know, this happened. So, I mean, then what happens the next time a black guy gets – you can't do this every time somebody gets murdered by
police officer. Well, the thing is, if you do it and you address it, you don't – you know what I'm saying? You don't have to keep going over it over and over again.
But you will, because you're gonna, the next time it happens, you might have a totally different group of kids.
I would hope that a coach, if they had any kind of session like that, that his mouth was shut, his ears were open, and it would help him going forward in dealing with the current players that he has and also future players that come in, because a bunch of them going to be black. You know, that's just what he's going to be
about. I don't see it. I just don't see – like I was talking to somebody the other day and about something. It didn't have nothing to do with the rides, and they were like, yeah, you know, I don't have any motivational words or anything like or encouraging words to say. I'm like, why? You don't have to. I'm not looking to you. If I want to talk to you, I'll come and talk to you. I guess it's just my view of it. Like, it's like when you get in certain professions, people think you're supposed to be like, oh, you got to go and talk
I just,
to
I you. I just think yeah. It's a little different, though, LJ, because, I mean, you know, you're a grown adult man. These are – you know, I mean, they ain't babies, but, you know, a lot of these student-athletes, their parents send them off to these schools and trusting these coaches with their kids. You know what I'm saying? So it's a different dynamic. It's a different relationship. I don't think that, like I said, again, I don't think the coaches too much, and I could be wrong, I don't think they too much give a damn about the players. But at least, you know, these players, I think a lot of them – are thinking, hey, coach cares about me. You know what I'm saying? At least he should. So, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with having a session. You got a whole bunch of black kids. I mean, it's the big elephant in the room. Like, I just don't see how you just say, hey, all right, y'all, let's just go to practice. You know, it's not talking about this shit at all. Like it never happened. You know what I'm saying? Hey, let's get in our drills. Like, you know, I mean, you got players coming out making statements. Trevor Lawrence made a damn statement. You know what I'm saying? Like,
they are posturing.
Oh, definitely. Posturing. I know it for sure, especially at Clemson, for sure. But like I said, I mean, you know, that's just what I think. But and this might be a little bit of a different kind of related. There's a real big push in college basketball, try to get these kids to go to HBCUs. I think it's a grand opportunity for some of these HBCUs to slide in and get some of these kids, you know what I'm saying, off of this. And they really, you know, and these student athletes can really see that they have the power because they are the players that everybody's coming to see. So, I mean, it's an interesting time. Very interesting time.
Can the HBCUs do what, like, these big D1 colleges are doing for them, though, as far as exposure?
Well, I mean, TV cameras know where talent is. I do agree with that. Mm-hmm. But the only thing that I would say the HBCUs are behind on, which it would take some, I ain't going to say a lot of time, but if they got, I guess you could say the money and the resources, it's facilities, bro. Like, it's going to be hard. I say because you're talking about kids coming out of high school. You ain't talking about people who are already getting paid and don't care about weightlifting because they got
their hat. Right.
You're talking about high school kids who are very impressionable about what they see, and facilities play a big role in it. I walk into, I ain't trying to, you know, poo-poo on no HBCU, but I'm pretty sure you can get the best facilities in the HBCU and put them up against UT, and it will pale in comparison.
Not even close. It's not even close.
It will pale in comparison. So it's like it's going to be hard to get that going, but it's possible. I just think when you're talking about recruiting and you're talking about top recruits that are African-American, although it sounds great to say, hey, let's go play for HBCUs, and yes, I do believe it will put HBCUs on the map again, but I just don't think they'll be able to compete because of facilities and
and fields and everything else that comes into quote unquote recruitment?
I think it's way easier to do in basketball as opposed to football. First of all, any kid that's a blue star, blue chip, you know, five star, whatever you want to call them, type player that chooses to go to HBCU, they're going to be a trailblazer because they're going to have to sacrifice, right? Like, you're not going to have the type of facilities that a UT or a Duke has. You're not going to be on TV. You just got to come to grips with that. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to be on TV every week. I think it's more easy to do. It's easy to do because in college basketball, all you need is two or three stars. If you get three really good players to go to Prairie View A&M, you know what I'm saying? That's really all you need. You get some decent players around them, they go to a Final Four, bro. You know what I'm saying? They really could. If you got the right guys on your team, two or three players, you can really do some damage in college basketball. I think after that, it will flow and it will follow. You know what I'm saying? It's got to be somebody do it first, and then they kind of like, all right, well, then maybe we can do it. Because the thing is, the money is way, way different. University of Texas guy, Joe Jamil Field. That dude was one of the top tort lawyers ever. You know what I'm saying? Billions of dollars. I mean, even if we want to look at like Go ahead.
This is my thing about the HBCUs. So are we only saying – let's start with football. Are we only saying the top five-star recruits that go to A&M and Ohio State, is that the only people that's going to HBCU? Because, be honest, it's not that many. So where's all these black athletes going to go?
HBCU players are going to the NFL. If you look at the recent draft –
That's not what I'm saying.
Malcolm, I think it's enough HBCUs to hold those top recruits, bro.
Only the top recruits should be the only ones that should be going to D1s and going to HBCUs, or are we talking about all black?
Because that's not the case now.
You get what I'm trying to say.
I guess you're trying to say it, are we just asking for the top players? It's kind of impossible to just say the top players because you can already say the bottom players already going there.
No.
How many
five-star, four-star, three-star recruits go to these Texas, Alabamas? How many you think go there? Out of all these, there's thousands of them. So who are we asking not to go, though? That's what I'm saying. Y'all keep saying send the black kids to HBCU.
Not to go.
Don't say y'all. I ain't say that.
But I'm saying saying, like, the kids should start going to HBCU. There's not enough of them to house all these kids. So it sounds good in theory.
What you mean? Like, it's not enough schools?
Hold on, Malcolm. How many different schools do you think these players are going to?
What do you mean? Like,
how many five-star players is Alabama gonna get? How many five-star players is Florida State gonna get? How many five-star players? You talking about thousands, but ain't like every all of them.
I'm asking y'all. Are y'all saying those are the only ones that shouldn't go to the Alabamas, but should go to HBCUs? Because there's a lot more kids.
Let's just get some.
I was going to say, to Tweety's point, they're already recruiting a lot of them kids. You know what I'm saying? I read an article earlier today because, you know, it really all stemmed from this one kid that's like the top sophomore in the country. He came out on Twitter and said, man, I'm about to start considering HBCUs, you know what I'm saying, because everything is going on. But here's my thing. Like, so a lot of coaches around the country at HBCU said, damn, we're going to start recruiting these players. They were never recruiting them. You know what I'm saying? They weren't even looking at them and going at them because they didn't think they had a chance. But, like, the two and the three stars and shit like that, they've been looking at those guys. They are specifically looking for guys that fall through the cracks that was on the verge of
making.
I guess, Malcolm, the ones you asking about, the ones that get pushed out, the walk-ons.
No, that's not what I'm –
What you're saying is they don't have enough room to house all of them.
I guess I don't understand the question. Right?
Did you not just say they didn't have enough room to house all of them? You're saying, who we going to ask not to go? I'm answering
How many players are on Ohio State's team?
Over
100.
Like you,
how many of them black?
150 players.
Over 150 players, bro.
They got about 70, 75.
Over 150 players,
Malcolm. They got like 99
scholarship players. Malcolm,
I think
you get like 120 some odd scholarships.
Yeah, you get a lot of scholarships.
Look at the sideline on home, guy. I guarantee you see over 100.
Bro, you got enough players to where you double up the jerseys.
To make it simple, let's say they got 150. Whether they do it or not, how many of those players are black?
Shit, 125.
All right, 70%.
By
70%.
So take 70%. Hell yeah. So how many Power Five schools are there?
I mean, what's your point, Malcolm? Get to the point.
What kids are you going to take? What kids when you say? The black kids should start considering HBCUs. What kids are you going to leave at the Power Five schools, and what kids are you taking away?
Damn, everybody damn can't leave. Who left at the Power Five schools? Want them all to go to HBCUs.
They can't.
Malcolm, I guess what I'm saying. Why does somebody not have to go? All we're saying is
that's what you.
I guess what Malcolm is trying to say.
If a five-star player chooses to go to an HBCU right now. Does that mean the other five-star players are not going to go to Alabama? Ain't nobody.
No, but that's not y'all argument. Y'all are saying they should start going. So
I didn't say that. You can say Greg, you tweeted. You don't have to say y'all. I didn't say that.
Once again, Malcolm, just because somebody goes there doesn't mean that his partner can't go to UT. Like, what did you say?
So you're saying only one out of ten should go, my brother.
No, I'm not saying should. What I'm saying is you can't expect for 100% of nothing to happen. That's what I'm saying. If out of ten five-star recruits, five go to HBCUs, I think that's progress, bro.
So why should they start considering now? What's changed? If you just saying they shouldn't go, they
like,
should go
you
just
like
because.
NFL, you
why not? Why not? Why
like,
not?
I'm not saying they don't.
Thing is, here's the thing, right? So you got the top player. If you got the top basketball player in the country, right? He's consensus number one. Everybody's like, all right, one and done. Whenever his draft class is, he number one pick. If he choose to go to Winston-Salem State instead of North Carolina, and he don't get hurt, and he still look good out there, they win their conference. They might even go to the NCAA tournament. They might lose in the first round. They might be the 16th seed. He's still going number one overall. He's still going to go number one.
Okay.
So here's my thing: is they don't need those schools. It's not the schools, it's the players. That's my position. It's the players. It don't matter where what's your boy name that went to Memphis, big boy Wiseman. He could have went to Kentucky. He could have went to Kansas. He could went to UCLA. It don't matter where in the hell he went.
Yeah, but you're talking about that one guy. So Tweety ain't saying one guy should go, but Greg is. So what you saying only the top guy. Of course, the top guy is going to have that opportunity to go regardless of where he go. But what about somebody that's a four-star and they go? I personally know a guy that went to an HBCU. He was ranked top. He was the number 14th player in the nation the year Kobe and him come out. I worked with him. And him, he went to Alcorn State.
What's his name?
Brian Adams.
Okay.
He went to Alcorn State. And he believes – now, he said he still would do the same thing over again, but he believes him going to Alcorn State actually hurt his chances of going to the NBA.
He was the 14th ranked player in the country.
It probably did.
Yeah. What'd you say?
It probably did.
I guess.
The reason why I say that at that time, I mean,
he probably wasn't that good. He probably wasn't that good.
He was the 14th player in the nation.
I'm looking at his stats. But here's the thing. The reason he ain't go to the league.
You say
yeah,
what?
I mean, shit. If he's the 14th best player in the country, he should have been fucking dominating the swag. He wasn't dominating the swag.
No, he wasn't because there was a guy that was in front of him.
He should have been killing. Should have been
killing. Yeah.
But, I mean, Lindsey Hunter went to the league. Lindsey Hunter went lottery out of Jackson State.
I mean, shit, there's a lot of five stars that go to North Carolina and don't make the league. Greg, this is an exception to the rule.
That's just the same thing. Maybe they weren't that damn good. Maybe they really wasn't a five star. They was overrated.
I want to step in for a second. I just want to get my take real quick.
Be quick, too. You know what I'm saying? Be quick.
Right, so here's my thought. I don't understand why race or what school what matters. What I'm trying to say is, why are we trying to encourage kids to pick schools based solely on race?
So am I the only person on here that went to HBCU?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I get it.
No, when
Let me finish. This is what I just don't understand about a lot of things in general, right? It's like when we get to certain things, we want to like try to like we want to say, oh, we want equality, we want freedom and all of that, and then when we get to other things, we want to say, no, let's just keep it to us. Let's just segregate it to us. But when white people try to do that to us, we get pissed. So my point, the thing I'm saying is, why are we encouraging kids to say, well, like, what is so wrong with a kid going to Duke? Like, and I'm not saying they should go to Duke versus the HBCU. I'm saying, what is so wrong with that? Like, people are saying is like, there's something wrong with a black athlete going to Duke, right? And Greg, you said it. The HBCUs don't even recruit school, don't even recruit the player. Like, I wasn't like a top level recruit coming out of high school, but I mean, a lot of the Big 12 schools and a couple of SEC schools recruited me for football coming out of high school. How many HBCUs did I hear from? Not one.
Right.
And they should have been.
But that's my only argument is like, don't say, oh, well, you should go to HBCUs because it's the HBCU. No, young man, young woman, you should go to whatever institution is the best place for you.
I agree.
Clark Atlanta, go to Clark Atlanta.
I agree.
If it's Duke, then go to Duke. If it's Harvard, go to Harvard. But don't just say, oh, man, you the best basketball player. You should go to an HBCU. Now, what if he or she choose that HBCU and solely because they go to that school, it screws up everything.
Right.
It could.
What happens is, like Tweety said, if you go to, like, because what do people automatically assume about HBCUs, right, wrong, and different? You playing at a lower level competition, right?
Yep.
So the assumption is, if you are really that good, you're going to go there, you're going to average 30 points a game, your team better be good, and you better be showing your ass every night. If they don't, if you don't, what are they going to say? Competition ain't that good. Right. But if you go to Duke, North Carolina, my guy.
And you mediocre as hell. And you mediocre as hell.
And you just okay or something, they'll be like,
you still getting dragged.
He long. He
right.
And all of a sudden, you become Marvin Williams, the sixth man who get drafted higher than everybody else on your team. That's not going to happen if you're in it.
So, LJ,
dominating, or you, I'm not going to say you're not going to go.
But you ain't going to get that look.
You have more room for error in a major conference team. And again, I'm not advocating for HBCUs or non-HBCUs. I'm saying that a kid, male or female, when it comes to opportunity, I mean, comes time for them to consider universities, they should look at what is best for them educationally, academically, some of those things Greg was talking about as far as like how coaches treat their players and how they're going to take care of you as a player when you're away from those parents, the town, et cetera, your major. I think that's what players should consider. Yeah. And not just saying, man, I'm black. I'm going to go to HBCU.
But here's my thing, though, LJ. I think the real thing is, like,
They just want the players now to start to – it kind of goes both ways. The players should start maybe even just consider going to HBCU. And also, on the flip side, HBCU, they got to do a better job. They got to take a chance to start trying to at least see if they can get some of these guys. But I think, to me, one of the benefits about going to HBCU, and I saw somebody describe it recently, these places are like sacred places, man. Like, you know, it's not a lot of times that you can go to a university where it's just a bunch of black people, man. And, you know, like I have this conversation with my wife. Because my wife, she went to two predominantly white schools. She went to Georgetown, and then she went to Loyola in New Orleans for law school. She doesn't really have any friends that she keeps up with from undergraduate school. You know what I'm saying? Her network is just not like what mine is. I keep up with a lot of my friends. A lot of the cases I get referred.
Bro, that could be personality. I wouldn't blame it on the school.
No. Hold on, Malcolm. Okay, so let's look at – when you look at – you know, say my profession, like a lawyer, you look at doctors, you look at pharmacists. I guarantee you, if you have a black doctor, a black lawyer, a black pharmacist, it's like a 75% chance that person went to HBCU. You know what I'm saying? HBCUs are producing the majority of those professional folks of
color.
That's
not what I said, though.
No. Huh?
They ain't have nothing to do with what I said, though.
That might be.
No, but what I'm saying is, it's just what my point is that it's a different environment. It's just a different environment from a predominantly white school, and I think these players should look at that and try to give it a chance. I mean, you look at schools like Florida A&M and Florida State. If you talk to the Florida State players, yeah, their ass always at Florida A&M.
But that's not what you go to college for. What are you like, for?
Your social life and your networking and who you're around is a big part of college.
Okay, Greg.
Why is it about race? Why do we keep going through all these protests and all this stuff in America to say, get away from race, stop racism, and then we come back and we keep trying to do and enforce the same thing? Like, that don't make sense to me.
It's not. You just blankly say racism, all right? But you got to look at systematic racism.
I want to know what is the difference between saying racism. I want everybody to treat us equal and
black
then coming back and saying,
it's black
you should
pride.
Go over here because they got
pride.
A lot of black people over
the
here. Like, that don't make sense. Those are the opposite of each other. That's like saying we want to end segregation, but when you end it, only make sure all the black kids go to the school over here with all the other black kids. That don't make sense. You either don't want racism or you're okay with it. You can't fucking have it both ways. You can't say, hey, any racism, don't judge us by our color. But, hey, don't consider the all-white schools because you can go over here where everybody look like you.
I don't think they're saying don't consider.
Why does race matter? Why?
I mean,
I don't fucking get it for the life of me.
Girl, I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
So what do you consider colleges supposed to do for you? Like, what's the purpose of going to college?
I mean, you know, like, of course you're supposed to, you know, get an education, you know, supposed to learn,
right.
Get certain skills,
right.
You know, certain
right.
training, but also, too, building right. your character, building you up as an individual.
Preparing you for?
Building your network. Say what now?
Preparing you for the real world, right?
Right, for sure. All right,
so let's say I go to all black high school, right? And then right. I go to HBCU, all black, right? What's the chance of me finding a job where I ain't got to interact with no white people? So I'm not saying you shouldn't go to HBCU, but I'm just saying, how does that help me prepare for the real world when I got to learn how to interact with white people and I've never had before?
Well, the thing is,
I shouldn't go to a college that has white people.
It's really some similarities between the two, right? Because, like, I got some friends that went to Texas, right? And they got the Texas Exes group and all that. And, you know, that's supposed to be, like, their network. You know, you run across somebody maybe in a hiring position or something like that. They went to UT. You would think that would give you a little boost as a fellow alum that you would get in there. But that's not the reality for the Black Texas exes. You know what I'm saying? Whereas me, like I said, you know, I mean, a lot of what I do, I mean, the partners in my firm, they come from HBCUs. I know them from college. A lot of my clients come from folks that I went to college with at HBCU, my financial advisor. I can go down the list, you know what I'm saying? And it's more similar to what that experience would be for a white individual at a predominantly white school. You know what I'm saying? It's different, you know?
I mean, I got lifelong friends from Stephen F. Austin and Texas A&M Kingsville. Ain't now one of them HBCU. That's I've met plenty of people that went to those schools too, in the working environment. So,
and the other thing
more so Stephen F. Austin because it's a little bit bigger school.
Is your network has nothing to do with race or what school you go to, right? It could be just because of the people you hang around with. So you went to HBCU, right? So what if you went to another university, a non-HBCU, but the people in your class or whatever that you tended to gravitate to was all Black? It would be no different.
Yeah, I mean, you got Black student unions and all that.
Right, it's just who you – I mean, but again, my whole thing is I cannot process – how we keep trying to say we got to end racism, but we keep preaching we got to stay to ourselves. Fucking blows my mind. I don't get it.
Like I said, to me, it's more of a Black pride thing. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, go ahead. Go ahead. Like you got something to say.
Yeah, so if you don't go to an HBCU, you don't have Black pride. What does one have to do with the other?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it is more of you're highlighting this institution and saying that we're proud of it because of what it is. That's what I'm saying.
What is that? But I don't understand what does that have to do with being Black? You don't think white people going to HBCU can highlight if I'm a Black man?
Oh, now I know some white folks at HBCUs now. We know about white folks at HBCU.
If I'm a Black man and I go to Harvard, how am I not highlighting how great Harvard is? Just because I don't I can still be a fucking A student. I don't have to go to I just cannot for the life of me. Again, I know I keep saying the same shit. Why Black people keep protesting, burning, doing all this racism, 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 racism. And then we keep coming back to, now let's keep ourselves over here. Let's go over here where we can keep up. Bro, you either don't want racism and you want everybody to mingle and coexist and live free.
I don't know, man. It's just, to me, like I say, it's a super complex issue because, you know, we would have these conversations when I was in law school. Professor would pose the question and say, the Civil Rights Act and the Civil Rights Movement, was it more for desegregation or was it for integration? You know, it's two different things. You know what I'm saying? People look at it like it's the same shit when it's really not. And I, you know, and again, this can be a whole totally different topic for another day. I think that trying to force integration really hurt us in a lot of ways. You know what I'm saying? Because we stopped being so self-reliant. I think that if we kind of got back to, you know, having pride in ourselves, you know, looking after our own interests, a lot of shit we ain't got to look toward the white man for. You know, but again, that's just totally another topic for another day.
That is totally contrary to what people keep protesting.
I was about to say that's not what you were saying earlier, because you were saying white people need to speak up about what's going on now. So that's
kind of crazy. I mean there's that, but it's again that's systematic.
It's
racism.
All the same. You cannot say white people gotta speak up, we gotta end racism, and then come back and
This is
either all together or we ain't.
Nah, this is what systematic racism.
Hey, go ahead, Tweety. Go ahead, Tweety.
I have nothing to say. I'm listening. I'm just trying to figure out how we're going to do
it. Hey, I got to get off, too.
I was just trying to see how, you know, because I guess the whole – that's why I don't really speak on stuff like that, because you will eventually contradict yourself. Like, Because
it seems like, well, you know what, America is America's one like big fucking contradiction.
Really, okay, now, great. The reason why I say that is because it seems like people don't know what they really want. It's like you want to stop racism. True enough, you really do. But on the other hand, you do want the black enterprise. You want the black businesses. You want the black schools to rise too. I get that too.
Hell yeah, hell yeah.
But I'm like, if one guy
I don't think that's the problem, Tweeter. I think the problem is, like,
go ahead.
I don't think the problem is wanting to end racism and then wanting, you know, the black enterprises. I think the funny part is kind of what LJ said is ending racism and then, what'd you say?
You didn't let me finish. Like, I was still talking, but go ahead.
No, I was kind of talking, like, I was going to,
You was going to interrupt.
The funny
me,
part
like,
is asking white people to help, asking white people to help end racism, and then turn around and do the black enterprise thing. Kind of like what LJ was saying is what I was.
No, I mean the black enterprise thing can be happening without.
Oh, y'all done froze though.
Without you saying screw white people, like that really can happen without that. Like that's one of those things. Like when I say athletes need to consider HBCUs, it has nothing to do with excluding anybody. I just feel like if why not? That's my deal. Like, why not try to see if one of these HBCUs can give you the same thing as a Duke besides exposure, obviously, because that ain't gonna happen. But I mean, that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that we should do this because we black. I'm not saying it like that. Malcolm done left the show. I'm not saying it like that. But you know. It's one of them things. I just think it's sensitive. I was quiet the whole time just for that. And like I said, when you talking race, eventually you're going to contradict yourself. Right? It's just one of them things. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
I just dominate y'all.
You ain't dominate.
I just dominate.
Well, anyway, Malcolm the damn host. So Malcolm back on. I'm going to say the damn host left the show. Sign us out, Malcolm. Sign us out.
Oh yeah. Hey man, I know one thing. Next week, y'all quit talking so fucking much. Good God, that's my gripe today. That's
bro, I ain't holding
so much. I'm gonna go a whole 10 minutes about how much y'all talk. Oh no, that's them two. It's them two wanna be woke people that I'm talking about. Yeah. Spook, Greg the lawyer.
We have interesting conversation.
That was a good
experiences and facts. And it was better than you just coming on saying, is the sun black or is it gold? Or why is it gold? Is it yellow or maybe it is yellow? Like, oh, are you coming out with some Kyrie Irving? The earth's flat. Well, time out. I know I said it was flat 6 weeks ago, but I was just bullshit. I was just throwing out some harebrained bullshit. Listen, we may talk a lot, but I guarantee you, that people will listen and find that shit interesting. Because we don't always agree.
Yeah.
We're respectful. We both are two well-educated black men.
Yeah.
We ain't cursing and yelling and screaming.
Man.
I guarantee you, people will like
it. You just got two cussing. What are you talking about?
I might have said one or two cuss words. I'm still black.
So you should go to HBCU because you black.
I just told you, ain't not one HBCU call me. Not one.
I feel you on that.
I visited one. I visited Prairie View.
I can't even say that I would not have went to HBCU.
And that was with you, Tweety?
Yeah, I said I visited two of them, but that was because of me. Like, and that was because I was on the transfer trail. It wasn't because coming out of high school, they didn't say nothing to me. It was, you know,
yeah.
I had other schools talking to me. It wasn't ever HBCU.
They don't want us, Greg. They don't want us. They even got white
people.
They even got white people playing on their baseball team.
They be excited when you walk on their campus. They be ready for you. They just
they got white people playing on their baseball team. They don't want us.
Oh yeah, HBCU gonna have a hard time recruiting a high school football player. They playing on grass field with dirt in the middle of it.
Yeah, the football
just keeping it a billion. Not going for that.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
I would love to see that happening. It's not going to happen, bro.
Nah. Right. Now, basketball, I can see.
Basketball way easier.
Well,
nah,
football, I feel you on the basketball thing because even no matter what, as long as you're NCAA school, you are eligible if you win your tournament for the NCAA. You can be on the big screen.
So right. I want to say one thing, though. Hold on, man. Let me throw one thing in there for y'all. I just want y'all to see this and hear this coming. Now, the guy Greg was talking about, the high school recruit, his name is Mikey Williams. Mm-hmm. Now, watch if these kids start going to HBCUs, or you start getting a lot of them to really, really, because there was a kid, I think last year, maybe mm-hmm. this year, that had an HBCU in his top five, I think. Mm-hmm. I think he was a basketball player. I know it's Florida A&M. I think he was a basketball player. Mm-hmm. Anyways, mm-hmm. now watch this creep up. Because I think, I don't know this for a fact, but Greg, you can correct me because I'm probably wrong. I'm assuming that a lot of, I know they do have white head coaches in basketball at HBCUs. Oh, yeah. I'm assuming a lot of the coaches are, head coaches are black.
Right.
A lot of them are black, but they do have some white coaches, though. Right. They do. Right.
Now, watch this. Now, watch when these kids really start considering it, that message start coming out there. Was they going to get the same quality level of coaching? I guarantee it. Now, watch when it's coming. But
you're right.
You sound like somebody's granddad.
Hey,
nah,
but
I'm just telling you, because they're going to throw facilities out there, and then that's going to be the next thing, is they're going to say, well, is he going to get the quality of coaching? You know, because you go to a Coach K who, not that Coach mm-hmm. K can't coach, but it's a lot easier to coach when you got the best fucking players. I'm going to tell you.
Mo, you got Mo Williams at Alabama State. Mo Williams say he got 14 years of NBA experience. He say he can give you anything these other schools can give you.
Right. So let me ask y'all this. So let's say one of the top basketball players go to the HBCU, right? And he doesn't, regardless of his numbers, he doesn't lead his team to the tournament. Y'all think that would hurt him going to the next level?
Nah. If he good, he still get drafted. You know, NBA about potential.
You did get hurt?
Yeah, Ben Simmons went to LSU.
What I will say about that, though, Malcolm, I mean, I think you're making a good point. What I will say about that, though, is that for more players to start considering and going to HBCUs, those first few players to go, they have to be successful.
Yeah.
Because the first time you get a top-tier draft pick, a top-tier high school player go to an HBCU and they don't, when they went to HBCU, they were supposed to be, he going to be guaranteed a top five pick. And then you go to HBCU and he in the top five pick, they're going to be like, players going to be like, I'm out.
I'm out. Yeah.
They got to do it right. They only got one chance to get it right.
They got one shot, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I think it shouldn't be like that. I really think kids should just go what suits them best. Right, but unfortunately – if kids do start to go, they're going to have one chance to get it right. And if it is fucked up in any way, shape, form, or fashion, people are going to start blaming it on the eighth. They're going to say, well, you think he would have slid this far if he had gone to Duke instead of going to Alcorn State or Hampton or Jackson State or something like that? Even though Walter Payton went to Jackson State. I mean, quiet as it kept, Greg, I know you know this. Once in the daytime, all the black players went to HBCUs.
Yeah.
Integration.
They got more Hall of Famers than a lot of these Power Five schools.
Yep. But people don't know that because they don't realize at one point they were all coming from HBCUs.
That was all the talent. That's why I was telling Malcolm before, all the talent was at HBCUs. Where it was.
Pee Wee Kirkland went to HBCU.
Pee Wee Kirkland was dude,
you
were
getting what I was saying misconstrued. That's what that was. I'm not saying talent can't go there. I'm saying when y'all saying talking about pulling the kids out of the big schools, the Alabamas and stuff.
Y'all,
what kids are we pulling out?
I kind of get what you're saying though, Malcolm. Because the Power Five schools, they got 150 scholarships. HBCUs ain't got no 150 scholarships, bro.
It's more Power Five schools than HBCU schools is what I'm saying. So there's more to spread those kids out is all I was saying.
I don't know about that, though. How many HBCU schools?
Oh, yeah, it ain't as many Power Five schools.
Yeah, it's more HBCUs, I think.
I would think so.
Like maybe 50 Power Five schools.
Okay, I shouldn't say Power Five. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say Power Five.
To add to your argument, though, Malcolm. Go ahead, Malcolm. Go ahead.
Yes. No, I'm just saying, I shouldn't say Power Five. I should say FBS, because you have teams like Tulsa, UCF,
teams like that are good at football, that are getting these kids too. I feel you on that.
You say North
Texas. I think Malcolm
kind of – So that's what I'm saying. I'm thinking of those kids too, is what I'm saying.
You know, another interesting part of that would be – and I don't think it's directly what you were talking about, Malcolm, but it kind of fits into that – is a lot of kids will then lose the opportunity to go to college. If you look at it –
To go where you got kind of low.
A lot of kids will lose the opportunity to go to college, right? Because you have kids that, generally speaking, the kids who are recruited by HBCUs, the overwhelming majority of them were probably not recruited by Division I college.
Right, right. Or, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? So if start bringing in all of these kids who normally go to D1 schools or larger institutions, then some of those kids who, I don't want to say maybe they were good enough, maybe they weren't, but they weren't getting recruited by those larger schools, a lot of them are probably just not going to end up going to college. I mean, not the
– I don't know, man, because a lot – when you look at, say, like a football team, like a TSU football team or a Prairie View, you know, you got a lot of players on the team that are not scholarship players. So, you know, maybe, you know, some of those guys that wasn't getting damn scholarships, maybe they, you know, kind of pushed to the side. But, I mean, but you do have a valid point. Somebody is going to lose out. But the thing is, you know – for these black schools, they want to get a piece of that pie. They want to get some of that exposure.
Absolutely. They want to get some exposure, right?
I don't blame them
for wanting to get them sponsorship deals and getting them big-ass arenas and, you know, letting endowments build all these different
right.
– allow you to do all these different things educationally.
If alumni gave back it like they do with these white schools, they might be a little bit better. Because black people don't know.
Black people tight.
Oprah Winfrey went to Tennessee State. You know what I'm saying? It ain't no reason why Tennessee State shit ought not be good.
I ain't never been to HBCU, but I can tell you what, boy. Them white people, when they get a college, boy, they ride. I mean, they do.
You know,
we went to Indiana University football game this year. And they football team sucked. They like, you know, middle of the pack record-wise. You know, I think they went to a bowl game this year. It's like 75.
Yeah, we towed it ass up.
What?
Who are
we? Kingsville.
Tennessee.
Oh.
I said they were terrible. Well, middle of the pack team. My point was. Indiana is not a bad, it's not a football school. It was people everywhere tailgating.
They got facilities out there and everything.
But like we went to the game. They play Ohio State. They got drugged. But the parking lot was full of people. Let me tell you how white people ride for their schools. Right, the school that I coach at. It's a high school, obviously. I don't coach football, I coach basketball. They be tailgating at their games.
But here's the point, too, though, LJ. Here's another point that people don't think about with these white schools. A lot of people that financially back
these universities.
Huh?
They did universities.
Well, okay, white universities, colleges, whatever you want to call them. What a lot of people don't keep in mind is that a lot of the financial backing that they get, it come from people that didn't even go to the school. LSU got so many people supporting the school, them motherfuckers didn't even go to LSU. You know what I'm saying? So that's another difference. The HBCU just not gonna have a backing like that. You know what I'm saying?
To answer the question,
LSU ruined it for HBCU, bro.
To answer the question of why I think the push is happening, I think it's to what LJ was saying earlier. It's to the point to where the people who went to those HBCUs having kids now, and like you said, they want to see their alma mater. Malcolm, you ain't listening, bro. They ain't let me talk. It's a situation where, and I think you saying no, but I think it's the truth because you're having more people go to HBCUs now that are having kids that do want to see their universities on top, that do want to see their universities get a piece of that pie. And I think it's more than the racial thing. I think it's more of that school pride. I want to see my school get some of these dividends from having the talent on the team. So I'm going to try to persuade some talent to go there.
I don't think it's more racially motivated than it is financially motivated.
I tell you what.
You didn't go when you saying they should go. You didn't go to HBCU and you saying they should go.
Hey, by like the last 5 years.
But like the last five years, bro.
Like nobody wants to play TSU basketball team. Like they give motherfuckers hell. You know what I'm saying? They had your boy Mike Davis was there. He was the head coach. And now Johnny Jones, he was a coach at Texas A&M and at LSU. He's Ben Simmons' coach. He the coach at TSU now. They balling, bro.
Johnny Jones
ain't
never coached at Texas A&M.
Who, Jones?
Yeah.
He did coach at Texas A&M.
He was a coach at North Texas.
He coached at Texas A&M, too.
He was never the head coach.
Let me go look it up.
He never was a head coach. He came to LSU from North Texas.
Okay. What you got, Mel?
I said, how far did the team go in the tournament?
Nowhere. You know what I think they won that play-in game, but then they lost in the first round.
So they beat
Mount Vernon State.
They beat Mount Vernon State.
but then they play a Duke or whatever. It ain't like they just get the door blown on.
let me look. I'm looking it up right now. Let me see what they are.
That
is funny.
Let's see. Who was on TSU? Oh, they dogs. Oh, no. They got dogged by San Diego State.
They didn't get dogged by Nevada, but they almost got twinked. Nevada
had some top recruits this year.
They got them twins.
They hung with Oregon State. Yeah, they took a decent loss to Arizona.
They not
State.
A pushover. They not a they pushover.
They got a damn dub yet, Greg.
You said what?
Oh, they almost
they
lost.
They ain't got a dub yet.
Ooh. They ain't got a what?
A dub. W. You know what that is?
Oh, them boys beat Temple. I know they went up to beat Temple.
It ain't Temple, big competition, bro.
It wasn't this season, but like year before last, they beat Temple.
Man, they was 16-16.
Greg said Duke didn't want no smoke. This is what Greg said. Greg said Duke didn't want no smoke.
They
16-16.
Let me look at this. I said y'all over the course of the last 5 years, they were better when Davis was there.
I could understand that. I ain't gonna say Johnny Jones ain't the greatest, but.
He all right. Jones all right.
He seemed like a nice dude. He keep getting jobs. So, I mean, you know, more power
well,
to
I
him.
Think that, you know, that's the,
I don't know how to go back to previous years. I ain't that tech savvy at this.
But I don't know how we slid the HBCU conversation in there because we y'all damn sure talked to y'all selves at that topic.
We had to skip this topic. What topic?
Black kids going to HBCUs. We had to skip it. I skipped it low-key because y'all talked about some shit so long that it wasn't even a topic.
Greg slid it in at the end of one of his albums.
You like how I did that, huh?
I got
Greg went on his soapbox and went for like 45
and
minutes.
He slid it right on into the HBCU conversation.
He got distracted because Malcolm was moving every 5 seconds. Like he was expecting somebody to fucking call for fire on his location.
Hey, look here. I have my shit on mute, so the audience can't see me moving. Only y'all
they can see you moving.
They can see you. They can't hear you, bro.
So it's on Spotlight. It records on Spotlight, so it only looks when somebody is talking. It only shows a person talking.
Yeah, we see it. It's supposed to record everybody. You got to record the facial expressions, the laughing, all of that.
It'll catch you laughing.
Damn, Malcolm, I don't want to produce the show, too. Fucking hey, man.
you might need to get out this mother.
You can't do, you got to do something besides take my damn $7 and walk around and do nothing.
This nigga tough.
Come up with them old $2 arguments like, period. Brother, get, read the black man, period. You gonna get that,
I don't even know who that is, so
I
don't mean
I learned this shit in the penitentiary. I hate people come back from the penitentiary. I know what, next smarter, man.
Don't get them on here. Don't get your boy Perry on here. Y'all can
this week, y'all do better. Y'all go undefeated like Floyd.
Oh, you go undefeated. You...
What you say, Malcolm?
Man, you got to get in the game to go undefeated.
Next week, do better. If I go undefeated like Floyd.
We done two live shows, two recorded shows. You haven't presented one good argument yet. Not one that even like remotely made sense. That dumbass of the NBA should just have 16 teams. You thought that shit was bracking. Boy, that was your hamburger here. You was gonna doubt. No, they're just 16 teams. The same 16 teams.
Well, oh. Then you paid 85% of the season, and then that play-in stuff they doing now really don't make sense. If you within four games, you get to do a play-in game. Why?
Chris Rock said,
more games can be played.
That don't make it a good idea.
Exactly. That's why it's a good idea.
Get deals.
Y'all wanna reseed 1 through 16 for no reason, no logical reason.
Ain't nobody said nothing
reason at all. But otherwise, it's a good time to do it. That's the best reason y'all came up with it.
Excitement. There's a lot of reasons. It's good reasons to come up with it.
I could jump off a cliff. That's excitement. Don't mean I should go do it.
But people will watch you do it.
But then I'm going to push you.
He ain't like people don't watch Ridiculousness. Like, it's a bunch of stupid stuff that happened on camera. Really? That's entertainment. That people watch it. If it's entertaining and exciting, people watch it.
Y'all need to bring Dios on here. Nigga Dios said, y'all are oppressed by the police.
Who is y'all?
You and Malcolm, you and him will get along because you think that too.
Who is y'all? I just say, who is y'all? And I've actually been pulled over by the police before for absolutely nothing. I still don't think.
You never hear me say I was oppressed by the police.
You just said that 2 weeks ago. They threw me up against the car because I was resisting. But I just people just said,
They did throw me against the hood of the car. Right, for sure.
You were talking about, so you ain't no oppressed by the police? I know Greg, I didn't know what he did. Greg gonna grow that fro out and pick that motherfucker out.
Man, y'all ain't talking about nothing. Y'all ain't got. Oh, I ain't even got to work, but y'all.
Yeah, man, I'm about to find the child boys, man.
Yeah, man, because my therapist.